Well, we are here on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, heading into the last great day, which will eclipse everything that's gone before. My purpose this morning, I'll give you my title first. The title is The Kingdom of God, A Series of Beginnings. My purpose will be to contrast Satan's counterfeit of God's kingdom, what he calls heaven, which doesn't exist in the way that he displays it, with God's kingdom and what God's kingdom will actually be like. He has sold his false view of heaven so well that the entire Christian world has been deceived. He would have you believe that if you are a good person, when you die, you go right to heaven to live an eternity of idleness and leisure. Nothing really that you have to do, nowhere you have to be, just sort of wandering around, occasionally playing a harp, gazing rapturously on the visage of Christ. That's it, that's all, the end, live happily ever after. Except there are no elements there in that future that would bring you the happily ever after part. God has created within us a need to do, to be accomplished beings. He has created within us a need to build, to create. Satan's current world system dulls this within us, but we can see it clearly when we view our young children. On a typical day, when I get home from work, Gabriel greets me. And what he usually wants to do is work. Now I'm done working, I don't want to work. But this is he wants to do something with me. He wants to work. Screwdriver, hammer, wrench, do something. Cut the grass, doesn't matter. He wants to work. So I usually have something to do, so I let him help me. And don't tell him, but it usually takes a whole lot longer than it would if I didn't let him help. But I want to keep alive his cheerfulness at wanting to work, wanting to learn. And so I allow him to help, and that gives me an opportunity to train him. And also, it helps me. It trains me and gives me opportunities to teach him and gives a growing and learning experience for myself. Satan has a world where he's changed work. He's turned it into a four-letter word. Many of us go to work. There's maybe not a clear purpose you have. Maybe they give you tasks to do which don't really take you to the where you would get an accomplishment from it. They'll, okay, we want you to do this, this, and this to accomplish this, but maybe it doesn't. It's taken husbands away from their families, taken wives away from mothers, away from their families, and it's just no wonder people place all their hope on retirement, are going to heaven to do nothing because they get frustrated in the work that they do and with what it does to their lives. God has a better way. We are with Christ to usher in a new world where work may be hard but will also be rewarding and fulfilling and have purpose. We've seen that Satan has this world focused on an end. It's just getting to somewhere where you can just stop. Okay, I've accomplished, I've done it, I've come to the end, whew, I'm done. It's a destination, and a destination that doesn't even exist, and even if it did exist, would bring happiness to no one. The kingdom of God, which is the family of God, by contrast, is a never-ending series of beginnings, a kingdom without end, an abundant life of constantly doing, accomplishing, and looking forward to ever more ambitious creative projects. I want to go through three of these today. The first is rather long. It's the return of Christ, the resurrection, and the millennium. It's kind of all lumped together. One brings about the other. Next is the great white throne period, which follows, and we picture tomorrow. And the third is renewing the universe after the great white throne period. The first part is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 17, which we can turn to now. It says here, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Eternal, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Eternal shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Eternal himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Eternal in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Eternal. This is the return of Christ and the resurrection of the first fruits, instantaneous translation of those remaining at his return, will usher in the millennial rule which we've been picturing these last few days, the family of God ruling this earth for 1,000 years. As we have heard this year, there's going to be a lot of work to do, a lot of work involved in this. Not everything's going to be done by fiat. We are to teach those remaining after the devastation of the tribulation God's way of life and how it applies to all areas of their existence. And slowly we will begin to see the utopia that's pictured in Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. We don't have to turn there now. We've done that already this feast. This will be what we see pictured here in Isaiah and other places in Isaiah and other places throughout the Bible, will be the result of living God's way of life, the fruits of living, actually the fruits of our instruction to these people living in the millennium. A 1,000-year period will come to an end, but the kingdom of God has just gotten started. We've got a new project which will dwarf everything that's gone before. Indeed, it'll take 1,000 years just to get ready for this, not only to prepare the earth, but to prepare ourselves as well, because we will have been learning on the job during the millennium how to be God beings, how to do the job that we've been given, and also to prepare others to be born into the God family to help us in this exciting new project, which is the Great White Throne Judgment. Period. We may not actually be doing the judging, but we'll be helping a little bit with that. Where all who ever have lived will be given a chance to repent. And that is going to be tens of billions of people. We will need the help of those changed to spirit during the millennium for this huge task. Undoubtedly, we will be helping, guiding, and directing those newest members of the God family in what they have to do and also what we have to do. We'll be hearing much more about the Great White Throne Judgment period tomorrow, but I'd like to read a bit from Mystery of the Ages, chapter 7, Mystery of the Kingdom of God, page 354 in the hardcover edition. It says, "Thus, in the Great White Throne Judgment, they will come to know that Christ the Savior has come and died for them, and upon their repentance, they shall receive the Holy Spirit, and with it, salvation and eternal life." So here we've come to the end of the Great White Throne Judgment period. The God family has grown from 2 to multiple billions. We don't know how many. Is it 50? Is it 100? Is it hundreds? We have no idea. All humanity will now either be in the kingdom of God, where there won't be humanity any longer, or in the lake of fire never to be remembered. And probably very few there. But we've only been training for what is to come next. This has all just been a training period for us for what's next, and that is renewing the universe. We'll take a look. I just read that incorrectly. Sorry. We will take what we have learned with this earth. For the past 1,100 years, we have been working with this earth. We'll take what we've learned into the universe and begin to renew the heavens as God has had us renew this earth. Let's look at Romans 8, 19 through 22. It says here, "For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain until now. Why would the creation be waiting for us? I'll let Mr. Armstrong answer this on page 362 of Mystery of the Ages. This is near the end of his book here, and it's in the Mystery of the Kingdom of God. He says, "Put together all these scriptures I have used in this chapter, and you begin to grasp the incredible human potential. Our potential is to be born into the God family, receiving total power. We are to be given jurisdiction over the entire universe. What are we going to do then? These scriptures indicate that we shall impart life to billions and billions of dead planets, as life has been imparted to this earth. We shall create as God directs and instructs. We shall rule throughout eternity." That sounds a whole lot better than sitting around doing nothing, playing a harp. Though, I did enjoy the harp the other night. I would like to close on my favorite paragraph in Mystery of the Ages, which is also the last. "With God's great master plan of 7,000 years finally completed, the mystery of the ages finally revealed, and with the recreating of the vast universe in eternity lying ahead, we come finally to the beginning."